The following is an encore presentation of the Donna Lana Kitchen. We'll be back in the kitchen in a few weeks. Have a good summer. Donna Lana Kitchen talks about food. Donna Lana Kitchen talks recipes. Donna Lana Kitchen talks about lots of other things on community radio. Welcome to the Donna Lana Kitchen. My name is Lana Noctigal.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
We gather here once a week around our kitchen table right in the middle of KHOI Community Radio. We have a great studio here and great people to help us put this show on. We talk about food, farming, advice, recipes, and opinions. We get around to a little bit of everything. Yes, this is the Donna Lana Kitchen, and this is Community Radio. We're all volunteers here. They let anybody on the radio, and we like to be here, and we are glad that you have joined us. Today we're going to be talking about teas, tisanes, herbs, and some other things, in particular a salute to dairy cows and butter. But first I want to celebrate the fact that summer is kind of upon us. It isn't the solstice yet. But isn't it nice outside? We got some rain.
Oh, we did. Lucky us. Apparently, some people around here didn't get anything, so.
Oh, maybe some more today.
Oh, goody.
Goody. So things are green. Things are growing. Things perked up really well on my farm. And I want to alert you out there to something that is available. Food is falling from trees. The mulberry trees are getting ripe. Mulberry trees are getting ripe. And they're planted like all over as ornamentals. But really, truly, those little black berries that plop on your car and stain the sidewalks, if you're walking underneath one of them, please reach up and help yourself.
And there's some white mulberries around, too.
Oh, I don't know where any white mulberries are.
Well, there used to be one right across from the library, but you know that lot that they've just raised the house.
That's where the white mulberry tree
was. Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
There must be some more out there because mulberries are lovely.
I don't know. I go around chopping them out of my yard because they just spring up everywhere.
They do. But if you find a tree that is like right now, help yourself because heaven knows the birds are helping themselves and the squirrels are helping themselves, actually making little fools out of themselves, up and down and falling out of the tree and going back. Mulberries.
Hey, how are your sea buckthorns doing?
Oh, they're lovely. They are not setting any fruit or anything yet. They're about 4 feet high.
Lana planted some new bushes last year.
It is an experiment. Sea buckthorn. Thank you for...
Well, you know, I've been reading everywhere about them. They're sort of one of these new superfood kind of things with lots of antioxidants, and you can buy sea buckthorn concentrate. Actually, I think even Wheatsfield has a sea buckthorn liquid product.
So once again, Donna Lana Kitchen on the cusp of culinary
edge. Let me tell you, I ran across
that sea buckthorn plant as a recommendation in a permaculture magazine. Sent away for some. It said it would grow any place. It was originally from the steppes of Mongolia, and I figured if it could grow there, I put it in the sandiest, windiest place, and they're doing fine.
And when do you think they might bear fruit?
Oh, I don't think this year. I have no idea. Give it 2 or 3 years yet.
Okay.
This is only the
Sea buckthorn crop.
Yeah, we'll check it. Sea buckthorns. I hear tell, according to the pictures, they are little orangey
yellow berries. Yeah.
So we'll try that. We'll try that. We have a special guest in our studio
today.
Yes,
we do. We have Kristen Roach, who is the co-owner with her husband, Jason Shaw, of Little Woods Herb and Tea, located at 136 Main Street, a brand new business on Main Street. And we are just delighted. I have to say, we're getting a lovely cohort of people about young folk, as I would say. I don't know. I'm guessing in your mid-30s to something like that, who are starting a lot of interesting businesses around town. So Kristen's Herb and Little Woods Herb and Tea Shop is new.
Welcome, Kristen.
Yeah, thank you for having me here today. We just opened about a month ago, and our grand opening was just a little over a week ago. So we're babies on the block.
Oh, good. And by the way, just across the street and a bit east, the young man that does coffee,
Morning Bell Coffee,
mm-hmm. also opened this week. Hallelujah.
Things are
delicious.
Happening
yeah.
in the cup department
yes.
here.
There's a lot of beverage drinking going on Main Street and in a certain block, in the 100 block, I believe.
Well, good. Well, Kristen, why tea? What brings you to tea?
A very meandering path.
Oh, good.
I first kind of fell in love with tea as I was falling in love with Jason about over a decade ago. He went and visited China and brought me back a bunch of tea from a Chinese tea, like, you know.
Black teas, herb teas?
Everything. And that really opened the gates. And there were so many.
Did you get one of those little metal teapots that they have in China?
No. Those tend to actually be a bit more for Japanese teas, I've read. But he didn't bring me back any pots. He brought me back a great mug that had an infuser inside and his lid, and we actually have a version of that mug now in our shop.
Oh, good.
And he brought me back a lot of really great oolongs and green teas and herbal teas. Like, I had never even seen chrysanthemum tea or rosebud tea and all these other things that I had no idea what they were, and I tried them all.
And you married him immediately because of this.
Pretty much, no. Actually, it took me another couple of years to convince him that, you know, for that path. But he had stolen my heart right from the get-go. But yeah, so that really kind of opened up to my mind to what tea could be, what could be considered a tea. And then fast forwarding quite a bit to 2010, 2011, I apprenticed with an herbalist named Trilby Sedlak out of Cedar Rapids for a year.
Great.
And that really kind of brought things together.
So you really learned a lot about herbal uses. Mm-hmm.
And that's really where our shop's focus is. We make a lot of our blends, or actually all of our blends are made in-house with whole botanicals. We don't use any flavor extracts, and a lot of them have a basis in herbalism. And while many are for daily drinking and enjoyment, there's kind of these secret double lives of the herbs in them for, you know, everyday herbalism, just a way to support general health.
So I went in the other day, and you have some tastings. You have also, people can have a cup of tea mm-hmm. or buy loose herbs mm-hmm. and obviously consult with you about what to take for what, possibly.
I am happy to field any questions people have, and I'm happy to share the experience and education I've received. I am definitely not a certified herbalist, and so I don't want to mislead people in that way, but I do have a lot of really great books, and so if you have a question about something, I'm happy to pull down a book and direct you to a passage that you might find useful, and then you can make your own decision about what would be good for you and your body, because everyone is so different.
Well, what I learned on that visit is something Lana and I have been poking around a lot about is Creeping Charlie, you know, and we go, there's so much of it, it must do something. And finally, Kristen enlightened me. Tell us about Creeping Charlie.
Yeah, this was a really wild one for me. It was during my herbalist apprenticeship.
We have plenty around here, in case you guys didn't notice.
It's very prolific in Midwest Iowa, maybe even the United States entirely.
I have a beautiful crop this year.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I asked in my, you know, the way you do of your mentor, what would be good for sinus congestion? For, you know, I always get these headaches and the winter as soon as you close the doors. And she's like, oh, ground ivy. And I was like, oh, what's that? And she's
ground
like,
ivy,
you're
yes.
surrounded by it, Kristen. And it's everywhere. And I was like, what? I've never seen it. She showed me a picture and I was like, oh my goodness, it's Creeping Charlie. This stuff has literally been following me around my entire life.
Yes, folks, don't let that name throw you. Creeping Charlie is ground ivy, and we are blessed with it. So it's wonderful, Kristen.
It's
something
even
we can do with it.
Yeah, and so what she recommended is that I just go out to my backyard to a place where, you know, there hasn't been dogs or cars.
Good idea.
And clip it right at the base of the stem, and you just take the whole thing. And if you want to make a tea for, you know, like an allergy kind of tea that's supportive of your sinuses and stuff, you just take that whole thing, throw some hot water in it, let it sit for 10 minutes. If you want to harvest it and dry it to use later, you just really need a little bit, only about a half a teaspoon. It's pretty
half a teaspoon once it's dried.
Right. And It's pretty powerful tasting. I find it to be almost like a little metallic-y tasting. So I like to toss some peppermint on it, or Donna here was saying maybe nettles and peppermint would kind of be a good way
nettles,
to round it out.
Nettles are something else we have quite a lot quite of.
Stinging nettles.
And explain the medicinal use of nettles. It's often used for allergies.
Yeah, honestly, I hadn't really ever heard of that so much. The way that I was introduced to nettles was that it's really good as a daily tonic drink to just support
it's loaded
general
with minerals and stuff like that. Yeah,
and it's just really supportive of it. The way it was described to me is the multivitamin of the herb world. You know that I'm not saying it is a multivitamin, but
it's in almost every
really
commercial
supportive.
Formulation for sinus and allergies.
Yeah,
stinging nettles.
Yeah.
So
it's a great one. Yeah. Just, glove up, wear sleeves and get out there and grab some stinging nettles.
That's good. How much in your experience, well, you've been open for just a short time, but
we're babies.
there you go. How much of your product is dedicated to just teas from the official tea bush, and how much of your inventory is herbs and all these other wonderful mixes?
Right now we're at about 25% tea, and everything else is herbs
and
spices.
Green.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. So tea, and this was a question you had earlier, what is the difference between tea and a tisane? Is tea comes from the tea tree. And so all tea that you get, black tea, white tea,
oolong. But that's not like tea tree oil. That's a different
That is
tea
a tree. Very different thing.
Okay.
Well, it's a different thing. Honestly, I don't know what plant. It's like actual species Latin name is derived from. But all tea has been cultivated from tea trees, for thousands of years into these different cultivars that have now spread to Japan and Korea and recently North America, of all places, India.
So is it indigenous to China, basically?
Mm-hmm. From what I've read, but...
Well, or maybe India as well.
I'm a baby, but it's hard to say when you go that far back in time where... Mm-hmm. But the stories that I've seen point to it
being... Probably Asian, yeah.
In China, and then being kind of brought around to the different countries on the different trade routes through Buddhism and monks actually traveling. And it was thought to be a great tea originally for meditation because it's a stimulant. It keeps you awake. It's
focus,
energizing.
It keeps you focused.
It keeps you focused. And so monks would drink it during their meditation sessions. And it traveled
from
monastery to monastery.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Anyway, so... tisanes, those, it's like everything else. So your yerba mate, your rooibos,
and tisane
your honey
is actually
bush.
A French word.
Oh, this is T-I-S-A-N-E. Tisane. I always thought it was a tisane, but that's a Midwestern pronunciation of it.
Well, I've always called it tisane, which is also fairly common.
Okay.
It's kind of that tomato-tomato thing.
Okay, there you go.
Where, if you're in France, do as the French do, it's tisane.
Okay.
In the Midwest, I'm not going to look at you funny if you call it anything else.
So anything that is not from the tea bush, all these wonderful other herbal concoctions and herbal infusions are a tisane. And they're all wonderful. They're great.
And in her store, she has 300 different herbs that are teas and culinary spices as well.
And, teas, medicinal herbs, spices. It's really fun. I get to experiment every day. That's probably the best part.
And I know from dropping in the store, you can share in the experiments.
Absolutely. We're very open to mixing and matching. You can come in and, maybe you like one of our blends, but you want to tweak it a little bit. We have no problems with throwing a little something else into it from the rest of our offerings. When you come into our shop, we have bulk jars behind the counter, and you can look at a price, like a full list of everything we have, or we have a tea menu to kind of look through what we offer for our brewed tea service.
Do you have Creeping Charlie?
No, we don't. I'm actually going to wildcraft it and dry it in the shop so we can have it this winter.
Oh, goody.
It's so common, it's really hard to get wholesale. Oh, well, from like a distributor.
Oh, yeah. So you can't make much profit on it. Oh,
no, no, no. It'd be a local service.
It's not on the commodity market in Chicago that we know of, no. All right. Well, good. Good. And, yes, there really are. You said 300?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my.
And it's ever expanding. Like I said, we're babies, and so we're always looking for new things to add. A really fun one that someone asked about was butterfly pea tea, like P-E-A, as
Thank
in
you.
A pod, a legume. Okay. And it is this flower. It's a legume plant. Correct my pronunciation.
Legume.
Thank you. And it's these beautiful blue flowers.
Oh, my goodness.
And you make a tea from it, or tisane, and it turns the tea, like, bath, or tea soup is the way to call it, beautiful indigo blue. Just gorgeous.
Oh, nothing.
And it tastes like peas.
Huh.
You know, it's kind of hilarious, but it's
Do you know
neat.
Anyone growing it?
I don't, but I would imagine Iowa would be a fertile place for it, but I had to, you know, I brought it. I ordered it in from China, but it was really hard to get a hold.
Oh, so you have some dried already in the store?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just got it in this past week.
Oh, I'm already but imagining culinary decorative uses for this one.
Well, I'll be honest, it's kind of pricey. I could only get a small amount of it, and it was really kind of hard for me to track down, and so...
But I bet it doesn't take much to make color.
No,
usually
no,
doesn't.
Probably not, but yeah, it's like $10 an ounce, so...
There you go.
Well, that might make a lot of...
it would make quite a bit, yes.
Blue frosting, for example.
Oh, yeah. That would be really interesting.
Blue pea, ice cream. Blue, you know.
Pea-flavored ice cream.
Funny things.
What are some of the other interesting herbs that we can find on Main Street in Ames? No. What sort of things do you carry that you're absolutely proud of?
You know, I really like our... Bright Eyes blend.
Mm.
We took yerba mate and lemongrass.
So this is a blend you made yourself.
Mm-hmm. Hibiscus, rose hips, maybe some lemon verbena, lemon peel, and it just is this really bright, refreshing drink. It's great, iced or hot. And it's very awakening, you know, very lively.
Wait, say that combination. Obviously, the hibiscus would give it a nice tang. And what else do you put in it?
Lemon peel, lemongrass, yerba mate, a little bit of rose hips.
Oh.
I feel like I'm missing something, but I can't put my finger on
it. So it's really tangy with some citrusy...
But a little smoky, because the yerba mate gives it kind of a grounded, smoky earthiness.
And a tiny bit of caffeine.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But not quite the same kind of caffeine as coffee, so it affects different people differently.
That sounds wonderful.
But it's really, really pleasant. I've been enjoying that one a lot lately. And honestly, all of our blends I'm pretty happy with. We kind of run them through the paces first and sample them to around the shop to each other and then to a bunch of random unknowing participants that walk in the door before we finally decide to put something
up. Sounds like a really good, like I often use hibiscus and lemon to make party beverages, you know, where you need a big container because that'll be a lovely pink color, right, from the hibiscus.
Gorgeous.
So I would often make several gallons, you know, brew it really, really strong and then add the ice if you need a, you know, a big, good, cold beverage for a party.
Exactly.
Or keep a big jar in the fridge, too.
Yeah. And that's pretty much what we do for our iced tea. During the summer, we do iced tea. We're going to do iced teas. And so we always kind of have on hand some Moroccan mint and another tea we called Summer Solstice, where it's actually Darjeeling and English breakfast, so it has a bit more of a kick, but with hibiscus and orange peel. And it's just a really tart, strong, refreshing iced tea.
The flavors of tea can go in so many different directions. It's lovely. To make tea, as all of your... tea, even when you go into iced tea, is it hot brewed first? Or do you, the idea of, you hit these tea leaves with water somehow. Mm-hmm. Is it always hot water?
Not always.
Ah.
And like
right, you could sun brew, basically.
You can, or like Moroccan mint is really nice cold brewed, where we actually just pour cold water over it and let it sit overnight in the fridge.
Really?
And it helps it from getting bitter, because green tea and peppermint, too, will get really bitter if you throw too much hot water at it and then let it sit.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just cold brew it, it saves you the trouble of that.
That's a good idea.
Our summer solstice, we do brew hot because it's a black tea base, and the hibiscus and needs
summer
a bit
solstice
more.
Is a mix.
Mm-hmm. It's one of our blends. And so we'll pour over a little bit of hot water, let that sit for about a half hour, and then we'll top it off with cold and put it in the fridge. And we let it sit for then a couple hours before we decant it into a secondary container.
That sounds lovely. You are listening to KHOI FM 89.1 Story City Ames. This is Donna Lana Kitchen, tasty radio for the heart of Iowa. We're back. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. We are talking teas and herbs with Kristen Roach from a great new business started here in Ames, Iowa.
The Little Woods Herb and Tea Shop on Main Street.
There are so many wonderful things that we can ingest, and they're all pretty much good for us, and they give us pleasure. Tell me about, I've read, and actually I have harvested and used it myself, raspberry leaf. Not the raspberry fruit or the flowers, but the leaf of all things.
Yeah, red raspberry leaf in particular is used a lot for ladies' needs. It's considered a great one, a uterine toner. It's astringent. It's recommended to drink while pregnant, but not leading up to giving birth, but like the first two trimesters. It's kind of just a really tonic, supportive thing and an enjoyable thing to drink. We actually in the shop have a blend called our Moon Tizen, and it has red raspberry leaf, pennyroyal, lady's mantle, horsetail in it.
That's right.
Something else I'm forgetting.
Yeah.
I'm forgetting the fifth component. But it's meant to be drank during that time of your month.
Pennyroyal. Now, pennyroyal's fairly intense.
Well, it's an interesting one. It's a part of the mint family. And pennyroyal oil is very toxic. And that is a distillation of everything kind of active going on in that herb.
Caution is always...
Yeah, you do not want to drink
pennyroyal what you're doing
if you're pregnant or you may become pregnant. And so pennyroyal is an interesting one because it was used for a long time and still is the oil to cause abortions. And it's quite unreliable as far as dosage goes. You have to ingest quite a bit of it. And so people would die from toxicity. So definitely I do not recommend pennyroyal, period.
Right. No, you have to be very...
But pennyroyal, the herb, the leaves is part of the mint family and is actually a traditional component of Moroccan mint tea. It's not normally made with peppermint. It's normally spearmint leaves, pennyroyal leaves, and green tea. Mm-hmm. And it's
and sugar.
Delicious. And lots of sugar. Yes. Yes. And it's a cold, delightfully, you know, refreshing iced tea during the summer.
Can you do the Moroccan pour, which is you hold it way up high and it... It can fall 2 or 3 feet into the
yes.
cup.
Yes, well, because you want to aerate it. And that's actually true of any green teas.
Oh, yeah.
You want to actually aerate the leaves. You know, think about green teas. They're best enjoyed fresh within a year or two of, you know, of being plucked and dried. And so they're very fresh, and you want to bring a lot of energy back into them and aerate them and get them energized
again. I've seen that done. Young man pouring the tea would raise the teapot yes. way up, and it would hit for. And I just thought he was showing off. I didn't realize
oh, no,
there was
a part of they actually yes, do that yes. in Morocco.
The
definitely.
Art of tea,
yeah.
And that's the really enjoyable thing about the shop is getting to in my own experience really cultivate these joys and share them with others. Like my husband and co-owner Jason Shaw, his heritage is he's half Chinese, and his mother has graciously taught me what she knows about tea, and then I've learned more on my own.
The Chinese have it's very specific about
warming
the pot, then rebrewing and brewing. And
it is, but it's more of a culture and a notion of hospitality and about brewing the tea so it's at the highest level of enjoyment, you know, brewing it to its full potential. Mm-hmm. And so it's really the art of tea. And that's really, you know, as an artist with a background in oil painting and curatorialship and that kind of thing, I really enjoy that component. So we actually do Chinese tea ceremonies at the shop. You have to make a reservation. We have a 4-person minimum. But if you just want a simple, like, we can brew you like a pour tea in a Chinese style service.
It's not P-O-O-R, it's P... E-U-R?
P-U-E-R.
P-U-E-R.
Sometimes with an H on the end, depending uh-huh. on how it's being uh-huh. spelled, but it's poor.
What does that refer to?
It actually refers to the region that the tea is traditionally uh-huh. made, but poor teas, as they're commonly seen today, all come from the Yunnan province, and they're aged teas. Some uh-huh. are ripe.
And they come in this really hard knot of a bird nest shape.
Sometimes, yeah, they come in cakes that you then mm-hmm. flake apart. You can also get it loose, but most of the time, the ones that have been aged for a long duration have been compressed down in these cakes. And you can get it ripe, which means it's been fermented, which is kind of like faking and speeding up the aging process. Or you can get it raw, which has been just sun-dried and then set aside and aged.
And they've had a sort of a cultural resurgence in this country as an anti-aging anti-cholesterol. Anyway, that's the buzz about
it. I haven't seen any specific studies on it, but I would say in general, poor in Chinese culture has been well known for a long time for being very healthy and a very good supporting, like they call it a longevity kind mm-hmm. of drink. Mm-hmm. And interesting, too, it has a really variable level of caffeine. Some are highly caffeinated, but a lot of them are lower caffeine levels because even though they have attributes that are similar to, say, more like a black or oolong in flavor, but still very different, but more than, like, say, a straight green, because of time, the caffeine chemicals break down. So you really never know if you're going to get a good kick in the pants or just kind of a gentle, enjoyable drink.
So, and they do have yeah. a rather mild flavor, don't you think?
They do. It's kind of like with wine, when it's been aged, it takes on more of a smooth, level taste, and it really hits you on your back palate more than the front of your tongue.
Mm-hmm. So the difference between green and black tea is age or
oxidation?
Oxidation.
Mm-hmm. I was actually just reading about this because I wanted to get my facts straight for you guys.
Oh, bless you. Good. Yes.
So really the big difference is when you pluck the tea, say in the spring.
So they're from the same plant.
They're all from tea trees. Mm-hmm. You pluck the leaves. Usually it's like a bud and one or two leaves. For an oolong, it's like the third and fourth leaf or something like that. There's kind of different leaves you would pick for the different types of teas that you're going to be making with it. And then you let the leaves wither a little bit, and then you stop the enzyme in them. You deactivate the enzymatic process. And so in Essentia green tea, Japanese, and oh, I hope I'm getting this right, I believe they steam it to keep it from further oxidizing. Mm-hmm. In China, traditionally, they will pan fry it, which is why Essentia tastes so different than like a Chinese green. So it has like this really bright, almost kind of seaweedy, really grass, really delightful. And the Chinese green tea is a bit more earthy, mellow, creamy, also very delightful, but just a very different process. And so in oolong,
they roast it in a pan?
Yeah, they actually have this, think of a wok, and it would be like this big wok over, they let it dry, and they kind of do this process where it oxidizes, and then they'll stop the enzymatic process.
Heat treatment, though.
Eventually, yeah, where they will actually do like a heat, almost like, you know, think a giant dryer, you know, mm-hmm. very carefully, of course, but it's like these big hot air dryers.
Okay, so this is just for green teas. Then how do we get black teas?
Well, it's kind of the same thing, but they let it oxidize longer.
Age, ferment. Well, it's not fermenting yet, but aging, yes.
Yes, yeah. But, I mean, it's a shorter process. It's mm-hmm. not so much like a, mm-hmm. it's like, I'm not sure the duration of time.
So the same tea tree, perhaps slightly different tea leaves selected, mm-hmm. but depending...
And from different provinces, yeah. right?
Yeah. Right.
Oh, that's yes. another thing yeah. that causes
Fujian
the difference.
And mm-hmm. Yunnan.
And there
yeah.
are so many different tastes.
And there's Indian teas.
Darjeeling, Assam, Calgar. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So delightful.
And generally, black tea, the caffeine content is higher than green tea?
It is. On the spectrum, generally speaking, and there's always exceptions to the rules, it's, I believe it's like white, yellow, green, oolong, black. And then pu'er kind of exists outside of that in its own subset.
And where does bancha fit into that, which bancha. Is twig tea?
That would be a tisane.
Oh, it does have a little caffeine in it.
Well, so does yerba mate, yeah, but it's not from
true.
The tea tree.
Oh,
what is yerba mate made out of?
Yerba mate.
The plant called that.
You've called me on it. I'm not sure about my facts on yerba mate.
No, I think you're right, though. It's from Uruguay, Paraguay, traditionally, that part of...
Oh, I just looked this up. It's from South America. Mm-hmm. Like Argentina. Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think that region. It's specifically even more Uruguay and Paraguay.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's
I am not going to contest you on that because I'm not sure.
Well, we're just having a talk around our kitchen table and whatever
I have it for
whatever,
my Uruguayan yeah. friends. You know.
Yeah. Okay. whatever we decide today, that's the truth for today. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen Yesterday. And then there's something you see on over the past few years, there's more varieties coming on the shelves. Even in supermarkets, you can find... Rooibos tea or
rooibos
tea,
African
red bush tea.
Which, yeah, rooibos.
That's yes, it. See, yes, see yes. again. Who knows how to pronounce it? But yeah, that a reddish tea. That I have not got a taste for that yet. I'm going to have to.
It's easily flavored.
You'll have to try some of our blends. We have really wonderful ones. Honestly, we don't. We only have a couple. Decaf black teas, but when we make caffeine-free blends, we usually turn to things like the rooibos, honey bush.
Ah, so
that
it's
kind
a
of
good
thing.
Base for things. Ah.
It is, and so we have a spiced chai with it.
Ooh.
We have one called Royal Pomander, which is orange, sarsaparilla, clove, cinnamon. Huh. And then we have this other one called Lavender Field of Dreams, which is peppermint and rooibos and lavender, and it is super warming when you brew it hot, but it's very cooling and refreshing when you brew it cold. It's a fun one.
With a little lavender in it.
Mm. A lot of lavender in it.
Oh,
ooh. to bring out.
And rooibos has high antioxidant content as well, right?
There's been a lot of research done on it, and generally speaking, There have been reports that it is very high in antioxidants. It's
supposed to be good for you.
It's supposed to be good for you. Who knows? The research is out. Actually, now in the scientific community, I was just reading a paper about how antioxidants were thought to be the thing that, you know, causes aging. But now they're actually starting to change their tune, and they're saying that it is a byproduct of aging.
Oxidation.
Yeah. Sorry, yes. So free radicals. Mm-hmm. And so antioxidants, while they may potentially help clean up your system, they may not actually prevent aging. It's an interesting thing. Science is always, you know, it's developing.
Slippery. Changes all the...
You know, they learn something and then they
Famous comment, and I will say it again, is we can send a man to the moon, but we don't really know much about what goes on with nutrition in our innards.
We are complicated human beings. Mm-hmm. Yes, we are.
Yes,
this is
we are.
KHOI. This is Community Radio. Community Radio for the heart of Iowa. That was a waltz called Waltz from a group called The Project. We'll hear a little bit more from them later. Well, it's June. The grass is green. The weather is ever so summery. And this time of year, cows are happy. June is dairy month. Ah, yeah, I remember that. June is
butter
dairy
is
month.
Better.
Butter is good. Butter is always good. I have a poem I would like to share here.
Oh, this is from our favorite book. Both Lana and I have our copies that we grew up with. It's the Better Homes and Gardens storybook, and we each still have it from our childhood.
Yeah, every now and then, little snippets of these poems keep drizzling into our brains, and this is a good one to share.
It's deep in the memory banks.
It's about cows. It's about butter. And also, it's about supply and demand. How milk prices are always fluctuating. The King's Breakfast by A.A. Milne. The king asked the queen, and the queen asked the dairymaid, "Could we have some butter for the royal slice of bread?" The queen asked the dairymaid. The dairymaid said, "Certainly. I'll go and tell the cow before she goes to bed." The dairymaid, she curtsied, and went and told the Alderney, "Don't forget the butter for the royal slice of bread." The Alderney said sleepily, "You better tell His Majesty that many people nowadays like marmalade instead." The dairymaid said, "Fancy," and went to Her Majesty. She curtsied to the Queen and turned a little red. "Excuse me, Your Majesty, for taking of the liberty, But marmalade is tasty if it's very thickly spread. The queen said, oh, and went to His Majesty. Talking of the butter for the royal slice of bread, many people think that marmalade is nicer. Would you like to try a little marmalade instead? The king said, bother. And then he said, oh, dearie me. The king sobbed, oh, dearie me, and went back to bed. Nobody, he whimpered, could call me a fussy man. I only want a little bit of butter for my bread. The queen said, there, there, and went to the dairymaid. The dairymaid said, there, there, and went to the shed. The cow said, there, there, I didn't really mean it. Here's milk for his porringer and butter for his bread. The queen took the butter and brought it to His Majesty. The king said, butter, eh? And bounced out of bed. Nobody, he said, as he kissed her tenderly. Nobody, he said, as he slid down the banisters. Nobody, my darling, could call me a fussy man, but I do like a little bit of butter to my bread.
That was a lovely poem in honor of cows and butter and June, called The King's Breakfast by A.A. Milne, copyright 1924, I believe.
That's the Winnie the Pooh guy.
Winnie
there.
The Pooh guy. He wrote a lot of nice things. And I've always liked the little bit of butter to my bread.
I like butter and marmalade.
All of it together. Yes, yes. So milk, butter, cheese, ice cream. I've been having strawberries on my ice cream recently. And I have also added just a little bit of balsamic vinegar to my strawberries on my ice cream.
I put a little grating of fresh pepper in that. Black pepper.
There's Donna with her black pepper.
Yep.
Now, that is a summery thing.
Well, that's a traditional Italian version is strawberries. Just, and you add the balsamic, not to the point where you can actually taste it. It just picks up the flavors in the strawberries, and the same for the pepper. You don't want to go, oh, I'm eating strawberries with vinegar and pepper. You just want these to be the most delicious strawberries. Now, I did talk to Judy Henry last night out at the Berry Patch to check on the state of strawberries, and she said we're having a little trouble this year.
Oh.
All over the state, as a matter of fact. That the strawberries we're having, she said, usually at the Berry Patch, they have, it's a U-Pick strawberry farm out near Nevada where parents love to go and take their children for picking apples and berries, and it's a lovely thing. And she said usually the strawberry season is a whole month. She said this year the strawberries have not set their second bearing, and they've only had about 10 days, and they're just about done with strawberries. And she said this is going on all over the state, that the ISU horticulture officials have been out poking around trying to figure out what's going on. I, of course, am suspicious that this is a new aspect of climate change. Worrisome.
This is when it hits our strawberries. We better stand up. This is personal, man. I have had some early strawberries, and they've been wonderful.
They have been good, but they're apparently quite limited this season all over the state. Lee's Greens also has reported having a lot of strawberries, too. But we may have almost missed the strawberry season. So if you find some, gobble them up.
Enjoy.
Judy did say, however, that people are finding other things to pick. They have a lot of sugar snap peas that children like picking, and that the gooseberries are coming on, the very first of the black currants. Blueberries will be coming, of course, and then followed by raspberries and followed by apples. So
we have culinary treats ahead of us. We're in the kitchen today with Kristen Roach from Little Woods Herbal. Herbs and tea. We're talking herbs and tea today. Kristen, did you have any luck with strawberries this year?
I did. We've been trying to get our strawberry patch going in our backyard over in West Ames for 5 years, and this has been the first year where we have baskets full.
Oh.
So it's been short, but they have been sweet and delicious, and we can't pick them fast enough because they keep getting too ripe and moldy.
eat.
Yeah.
Oh, very good.
Call in the ground squirrels.
Oh. We've got enough of those.
Good. You've been telling us about herbs and teas. There's something else that happens at your brand new store. You plan on having classes in the fall. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so we started out in herbalism, mm-hmm. and have kind of wandered our way into tea, and we make all of our own blends at the shop. Mm-hmm. So any of the teas that you get there are blended from whole ingredients. And we thought it would be really fun to teach other people how to do the same.
Oh, boy, so, classes. Yes.
Yes. So we'll start out with some workshops in September, and we'll have a bit of a mix. We'll do kind of home apothecary courses that will be more like making a plantain salve for bug bites and sunburn and that kind of mm-hmm. thing. Mm-hmm. And then we'll also do...
What about home beauty products?
That'll happen eventually, but I am not experienced on it yet, so I need to do some experimentation before I can share that knowledge with others.
Well, you seem to have all the ingredients, so...
We definitely do. So then the other side is we're going to do mixology classes where you can come in and you can sample a bunch of single ingredients, and then we will help you craft your own unique custom tea for yourself. And it's going to be really fun.
That's wonderful.
And this is at Little Woods Herb and Tea Shop mm-hmm. at 136 Main Street, a new business in town. Congratulations. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You mentioned herbs and things that we can use, things just grow. Okay. And we can use some of these things. You mentioned plantain. Mm. Plantain is something that's another
Everybody
thing.
Everybody has it in the yard with their creeping Charlie.
Nice big flat leaf. How did you say you were going to use that plantain?
Well, so we sell it in the shop dried, but right now, not to drive myself out of business, but I recommend you go out into your driveway, usually, and you can, as long as it's not close to where your car is, so maybe the backyard is actually better.
And
anywhere
as
there's
long as
compact,
you don't spray and use the chemicals in your yard.
Right. And I would recommend washing it, but you can go out and you can harvest the leaves. They're kind of these big lobe-shaped leaves. There's usually about five of them going from
a
center point in the ground.
Thick.
They're kind of rubbery, and mm-hmm. they have these strings that run from the center to the tip. And once it gets to a certain point, a stalk will kind of shoot up from the center about 6 inches high and have little beady, seedy things on the end that are sometimes pink or white. Mm-hmm. In Iowa, we actually have two varieties, and one is more big lobe shape, Plantago Major, I believe. And then the other one is more long and spear-shaped, but they're both plantain, and they both work great. And so what I would do is I wither it, so you just let it dry, say on a screen, or if you have a...
So you just pick the big fat leaf
just pick the big fat leaves off, let it wither and dry out a little bit, because you want to remove a little bit of the moisture. And you can take olive oil, just shove a quart jar full of the plantain, top it off with olive oil, and let it sit for about a month or,
in
folk
in a
medicine.
Dark place.
Yeah, they'll say a moon cycle. So for
in 28 sunshine, days. In the dark, in the cool, in the hot.
I've tried it a couple different ways. And if you want to speed up the process, you could put it in the sun at first and then store it in the dark. Mm-hmm. Or you could actually put it in a double boiler on the stove and heat it up if you want to really expedite the process to just a couple hours to make your oil infusion. Mm-hmm. Then you strain out all the plant matter and you make a salve out of it. And you can add a little bit of lavender essential oils and some beeswax to it.
And what does, when here you
what
have
does it
step.
Do?
What does it do?
What does it do? That's the key thing. I like to use it on bug bites, stinging nettles, which we were talking about earlier, or thistles, any kind of little bug bites, though, are
so, like,
really nice.
So, skin abrasions.
Yeah, but nothing with broken skin. It's not like for an open wound kind of thing.
Because it's not antiseptic, necessarily.
It's not. And
bruises or not?
Not so much. Really think like little ouches. So like maybe a little burn from your stove sunburn. It would be really nice on that.
Oh,
wonderful. And you were talking about making, can you talk about poultices and what you would use a plantain poultice for?
Yeah. So plantain is really, in traditional folk medicine, it's considered a drawing agent. So think of like bug bites and that kind of thing. It's drawing out.
So would you mix it with clay, which is also a drawing agent?
You could. So you could use it for a poultice or a... Oh, I'm spacing on the other word. So I'll ignore the terminology and explain it.
But a poultice is a wet application, right?
Right. And so there's a way you can make a pack and you mix it with like slippery elm bark or clay.
So you just macerate
or baking
the leaves?
Soda. You can chew it, actually, if you're out.
That's an old one. I've heard that. Chew the planting leaf and glob it on.
And just glob it on. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And wrap it in gauze.
That really impresses children, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah.
It works. I've tried that. Mm-hmm. It works.
You were talking about with poison ivy, which I've never heard of. Poison ivy, oh, my goodness. That's just a whole other world. And I don't know if it helps.
And I can't say that it would cure poison ivy, but it does slow it down.
Okay, yes, so you slap it on like right after you've been,
If I notice it right away. Also, I've got some commercial things that I keep in my medicine cabinet at home. It actually, it's a very good, it's a soap.
I think the Techni stuff?
It really works. Gets rid of the oil.
As much
as you can. There's always a little, but yeah, it helps. But the plantain, it's nice to know that when you're out there, in the jungle, there are things that are friendly. They are friendly. Yes, they are. Well, we wish you all sorts of success with your wonderful new business.
I had a tea experience this week that I have to talk about. This gets back to Dairy Month, and I did a little bit of ice cream making sort of once a year for all the children in the neighborhood. Auntie Donna makes ice cream in her fabulous ice cream machine where you just put the mixture in and you push the button and the children are all oogling and looking and telling me, oh, it's not quite done yet. But so I made four flavors this year, and I used a book called Jenny's Splendid Ice Creams at Home. And I have to recommend this book. It's by Jenny Britton Bauer, Bauer. And one of the things that she does make commercial ice cream, I believe, in Ohio. But her recipes are very home friendly. They're not egg based. She has some good tricks for using like a little cornstarch or often a little bit of cream cheese beaten in and a few things. So for home recipes, her recipes work very well. However, I do find them a little sweet for my palate. So I'm going to cut back on the sweeteners. But I made this ice cream called Scarlet and Earl Grey. So basically, you're mixing the milk base and the sugar. And then you steep Earl Grey tea in it for 10 minutes. And as I was making it, I was thinking, because Kristen has a really nice Earl Grey mix at her store, so I'm going to have to come and buy some, because not all Earl Greys are created equal. But this ice cream was really, really good, flavored with Earl Grey tea. And then the scarlet part was, oh, by the way, cherries will be coming too, and we might have a good cherry year. But I had some cherries in the freezer from not last year, but actually 2 years ago, because last year was not a prolific cherry year. So I was finishing them up. So I had taken the cherries and boiled them with sugar until they were like almost candied. And then, so you mix the Earl Grey ice cream in the ice cream maker, and then when it's nearly done, you fold it in the cherries and then stick it all in the freezer. And I have to say, it was really, really good. So that Scarlet and Earl Grey ice cream from Jenny's Splendid Ice Creams at Home.
Yum.
That sounds amazing.
It was. It really, really was.
So all the good flavors of tea, all the good flavors of ice cream.
And we'll be doing more ice cream and cold treats later in the season. Y'all know Lana and I love a good popsicle and a...
We'll get there. Thank you for being with us. Kristen Roach from
Little Woods
Teas and Herbs. That's great.
Thank you so much for having me today. This has been really fun.
Good. You've been listening to the Donna Lana Kitchen. Thanks to our guest, Kristen Roach. Find us here every Tuesday at noon. It's repeated 7 o'clock in the evening at noon on KHOI-FM 89.1. You can go to the website, khoifm.org, and find us anytime. There's archives, there's streaming, there's downloading. You can do all kinds of things. There's recipes there. This is community radio. Support this fine station. We've had music today by a group called The Project.
from their CD called Winter in June. My name's Lana Noctigal.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
We've had excellent engineering today by Dalton Gackle. Eat good food and enjoy life.